Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Happy to be back. Big Monday. And I'm actually not being condescending. That was, boy, what a piece of news to wake up to. Now, clearly, I'm on a bit of a different schedule than most people are. And I was actually talking to Hatchet about this before the show that, you know, I woke up like 9:15, 9:30, and I had a long golf weekend. So I was trying to, catch up on some sleep because when you're away with the guys, you're not sleeping. You're out drinking and you're playing golf. And I slept great, by the way. And I woke up, I looked at my phone, a couple of people had already texted me, and including my father, and he texted me, he goes, are you out in Ann Arbor right now? Beeline. Whoa! And I swear to God, I initially thought, I was like, did John Beeline die? Did something happen? Like, is this really bad? Like, was there an emergency? And fortunately, I went on Twitter and I saw the news. It was just John Beeline making the jump to the NBA. But I don't know why waking up, that was my original thought for whatever reason. But thankfully, no, he is 100% okay. I don't know that I can say the same necessarily for the Michigan basketball program, but certainly it basically lends credence to the idea that people said last year that interest in the Detroit Pistons was very real on John Beeline's end. He very much wanted to explore the NBA. And I know there were people last year that came out and said, well, you know, he was just using that as leverage to get a raise for his assistants. Clearly, that was not the case. This was something that he had been eyeing, something that he had been thinking about. And as of late last night when they came to the agreement, and then this morning when the Woj bomb hit, John Beeline is off to the NBA. He's going to be the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And there's a couple of different ways, I guess, I want to go about doing this. Because you look at it from the Michigan angle, and you look at what he's been able to accomplish, and I had the pleasure of covering Beeline for many, many years and getting to know a lot of the players, a lot of the recruits, families, you know, things of that nature, assistant coaches, and he is one of the nicest people you ever meet. He is one of the most genuine people you will ever meet, and he is one of the most gifted basketball minds that you will ever come across, at least from an offensive perspective, right? And there are going to be some people that sit there and go, okay, John Beeline's not going to, you know, work in the NBA. It's just, it's not a fit. You know, I can't see him going to the NBA and doing it. Well, why? Because if you're paying attention, John Beeline's been running an NBA offense and an NBA style system for many, many years. You know, high pick and roll, spread the floor, got to get shooters all over the place. You know, try to open up the paint area and be able to attack, right? And most recently, when they had their most success towards the end of his tenure, they got, finally, that Kevin Pitznagle in Mo Wagner, who was able to be this 6'11", you know, big man who could go down and bang with the big boys and get rebounds and block shots, but also could step out, handle the basketball, little pick and pop, knock down threes. That's when you saw John Beeline's offense really start to take off, okay? So now you insert him into a situation in Cleveland where Kevin Love is your stretch four. Now, Kevin Love making, what, $28 million next year? I believe it's the first year of a four-year extension that he just signed with Cleveland. If they can get to him, they can reach him and get him playing at a much higher level, that is a perfect player for John Beeline, a perfect big man, given what he wants to accomplish. And in the college game, it's so condensed. Things are so pushed into the paint, if you will, right? Teams can just pack it in. You can play help defense. In the NBA, there's that pesky little thing called the 3-second in the paint defensive, you know, violation, right? Not going to be able to do that. So John Beeline is going to be able to take a system that was incredibly successful in college because he could spread people out, and now you take away a team's ability to really provide solid help defense in the paint. I mean, I remember doing the shows last year, And look, I'd love to hear from Michigan fans. I'd love to hear from John Beilein fans. Your reaction, do you think he can succeed in the NBA? I'll certainly take a look at what's next for Michigan. The phone number is 248-539-9797. Ticket text is at 97136. But I remember last year sitting there and going, boy, Beilein would really work. Like, you know, you look at some of these college coaches and like a John Calipari. I don't think John Calipari would work in the NBA. What does he bring to the table? The only thing he brings is just being able to, you know, what, have good relationships with the players because he can allow them to just go out there and play. Sure, that's fine, but he doesn't bring anything, in my opinion, from an X's and O's standpoint. John Beilein is a system. You know, for all the people out there that like to dog on the NBA, even though yesterday was absolutely fantastic, I'm not going to get into the Game 7s, but unbelievable day for the NBA. One of the big complaints is, oh, it's so much isolation. You know, James Harden's ruining the game. It's just him dribbling the ball, dribbling, and then he fires up a step back three, right? And either it goes in or it doesn't. And that's your offensive possession. I don't think you're going to be seeing nearly as much of that with John Beilein in Cleveland. And whether he was in Cleveland, whether he was here in Detroit, whether he would have gone anywhere else. Orlando, of course, was in the mix last year, too. This is a system that is going to get the ball moving. It's not just going to be one guy dribbles, one guy shoots, empty possession. You're truly going to get ball movement. And when it's working at its best, we were all privy to it over the last several years, it's a thing of beauty to watch. And an unbelievable, you know, offensive perspective, spectrum, if you will. So, look, do I think John Beilein's going to win a championship in Cleveland? No, I don't think so. If they get Zion Williamson, you can start to talk about they'll be building and they'll be developing, and maybe they could get another star in the next couple of years to surround him because Zion will be on a rookie deal. Then you can have that conversation. If he doesn't get Zion, it's going to be difficult. But from a pure development standpoint and system standpoint, yes, he's going to be successful. It will translate. The biggest question that I have, and I honestly think he's most prepared to do it now as opposed to before, is the player relationship deal. You know, he is a guy who will grind on his players. Players love him. He's got great relationships with them at this point, but you can't do that every single day in the NBA. You have these egos. You have these million-dollar athletes that think there's something. That 5 years ago, I think, would have been an issue. But Beilein has like this whole new perspective on life and as a coach and his relationship with players. I think you started to see that change over the last several years, really since Trey Burke in 2012, 2013, when they formed an incredible bond and went all the way to the national championship game. That would be my concern, but I do think he's better suited to handle it now. You know, as far as Michigan is concerned, and again, the phone number is 248-539-9797. I'd love to hear from Michigan fans. I think it'll absolutely work in the NBA. And do you think that the program takes a step back? I know Hatchett was talking about that prior to the show. I had a buddy text me earlier today and go, well, Michigan's screwed. And I don't know if it's to that extent. Sure, they're going to take a step back because John Beilein's unbelievable. But that doesn't mean that the program is going to be rendered, you know, useless. There's still plenty of talent in the program. There's plenty of talent coming in, and there's plenty of guys that are out there on the radar who could potentially end up in Ann Arbor. But to me, John Beilein leaving, like if you had to sit there and say, okay, John Beilein left, why? Why did he leave Michigan to go to the NBA? Like the biggest reason why he decided to go to the next level, I think there's two things. One, the challenge. He just wanted to see if he could, you know, go to the NBA, get to the highest of levels after being at the lowest of levels as a JV coach, right? When he started his career. But number two, I really do think sitting in AAU gyms, having to form relationships with, you know, 15-year-old kids and parents and, you know, dealing with AAU, you know, hustlers and AAU coaches and high school coaches and friends, there are so many relationships you have to cultivate and keep up with on a daily basis. It can be incredibly annoying. You know, I covered, you know, all the recruiting and I covered, you know, Michigan basketball back in the day and all that. And even me, just as a quote unquote, you know, online reporter, I was just, you know, writing things and keeping tabs on basketball recruiting. You're talking to these people all the time. You know, I would talk to parents for 45 minutes. You know, so, you know, what do you think about, you know, Michigan? What do you think about this school? Are you gonna... I couldn't even imagine being a coach how many of those conversations you have to have on a daily basis. So I don't know that I would say, well, Michigan didn't really give him what he wanted. Michigan didn't really take care of him. Do I think that he got enough credit? Do I think he got enough, you know, support from the fans? No, probably not. He was ignored a little bit. Michigan football wants to be great. Michigan football fans just want the football team to, you know, get back to being a national contender. And it hasn't happened, and I don't know that it's going to happen under Jim Harbaugh. But I don't think that, you know, Michigan and him playing second fiddle and him being on the side or, you know, in the side cart next to Jim Harbaugh riding shotgun, I don't know that that played a huge role in John Beilein leaving. I think he wanted the challenge of going to the NBA, seeing if he could do it. This is it. This is the last hurrah. Making a nice little payday as well. Extra, what, 25, 30 mil, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. That's awesome. Good for him. But I do think that the recruiting aspect of it and the FBI investigation that was going on, I think it did become tiresome because he did it the right way. There's no doubt about that.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.